Good evening, everyone. I'm preparing this for the Monday morning, the 3rd. It's about 7 o'clock here on Sunday evening. You know, I've been thinking today a lot about the church, and I was watching or listening to some of the old Scottish psalm singing in Scotland, and however, during the whole thing, they were showing all the different churches in Scotland, these magnificent edifices that are not even being used anymore, by the way. Say a lot of them are for sale, but most of them have crosses in them, some kind of image of a cross. I was chastised this morning by a fellow who I've known for quite a while for placing a video up that was describing what was going on with the agreements between the world leaders and the Pope. And the video was actually placed on there by some Seventh-day Adventists. But anyway, I'm not at all upholding Adventism or their Arminian doctrine, but I do think that in this video they pointed out some very interesting things going on in the world between Pope Francis and all these world leaders, and the climate change and the push for digital currency and the push for a universal religion for all, and push for controlling everyone through the medical arena and so on. We are living on the cusp of the ushering in of the mark of the beast. I can see it so clearly what they're trying to do. And we are told in the book of Revelation that you will not be able to buy or sell save you have the mark, and that's where it's going. And heading this whole thing up is the papacy, the Antichrist, the beast. And I know people are getting tired of hearing that, but you know, back to the church. The church is not a building. We're told in Scripture it is not a building made with hands. You know, a lot of people think church is a place you go to every Sunday. And, you know, it's a very, for many people that go to these edifices, some of them are very expensive buildings, very posh, a lot of idolatry associated with it. Yet we have Christ described as not even having a place to lay his head. We have the little baby born in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. But yet we're going to build these large edifices in the name of God. Okay. I don't feel comfortable in worshiping in brick and mortars. And right tonight I'm worshiping in little mobile home. It's good enough for me, my family here. You know, there's, if you follow the ministry of Christ, and you follow the ministry of the Apostle Paul, they did not have any big edifices. You know, they got kicked out of those things. They got kicked out of the synagogues. You know. And they were told they could no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And they were beaten because of it. Paul was led over a wall in a basket. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. You know. John the Baptist ate locust and wild honey, you know. And all of the disciples were martyred except for John, who was boiled in oil. These people didn't have these huge edifices to go in and preach. You know, they didn't have you know, a big old pulpit to get up in, or they didn't have a big old stadium, or Paul might have spoken in Athens, but you know, what I'm trying to say is that all of these churches, all the money that's spent in these buildings, I don't believe it is honoring and exalting Jesus Christ. I just don't believe it. I believe if Christ had expected us to worship in places like that, he would have had places like that built and worshiped in. And you know, I think a lot of that, you know, when the Reformation came on, a lot of the old cathedrals were taken over and made into Protestant churches. But I think a lot of it, the Protestant reformers tried to mirror Roman Catholicism. Well, this is what they're doing. Let's compete with them. And they have some of those big buildings just like the Roman Catholics. You know, whether it was Martin Luther or you know, John Knox, or some of the, you know, Martin Luther started the Lutheran Church, and look at all the Lutheran churches, the big buildings all over the world. Look at all the big Presbyterian churches all over the world. You know, it's not just the Lutherans and the Presbyterians, it's the Episcopalians, and it's the all the Reformed churches and all the Arminian churches that are huge buildings. You say, well, why are you spending all this time on it? Well, you know, I was chastised by a fellow one time for defining the church as the bride of Christ, because he says it's got to be a local body. Local. Well, I don't think you can get any more local than being a home church. I think that's as local as you can get. When you worship right in your house, I think that's pretty local. Okay? But it doesn't have to be only local. You know, we're going into 72 countries. We went into 72 countries last month with the gospel. You know. And we reached over 5,000 people who viewed our messages last month just on sermon audio alone. So it doesn't have to be, if it was just local, if it was just Pineville, there's only a little bit more than 800 people in Pineville. You know. And most of the people in Pineville are not going to listen to me. You know, they're going to listen to their ministers and the denominations that they're involved in. So anyway, that's kind of what's on my mind tonight. I want to conclude this little devotional with this thought, you know, and you know, I sometimes get discouraged. There's not a lot of people that send me emails that are encouraging. They're usually lambasting me or calling me a false prophet or something like that. But whatever we do all to the glory of God. It's whether it be making coffee, reading our Bible, or filling our car up with gas. We are His people, His blood-bought children, and this heritage shall never pass. He will never leave you or forsake you. Regardless of where you are or what task you're doing, the Holy Spirit will comfort you and always be wooing you back to the fold of His eternal love, having been given to Him by the Father from the throne from up above. God bless.